Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. The gorgeous, gorgeous fall here, gorgeous nights, warm days, cool nights. Whole crowd of young people gathered in the backyard of Pastor Liz's house down the street from the Lutheran church, and they were going to roast wieners out there, and they just got in the mood, build a bigger and bigger fire, and they've kept throwing wood on it, and it blazed up high, and people came from blocks around, the smell of fall in the air, and they stood around and they watched it, and then as Lutherans will, they started to sing, and they sang, "I've been working on the railroad," and they sang about the grasshopper sitting on the railroad track. And down in the valley so low, and from this valley they say, "You are going." And then, being Lutherans, they sang, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." They sang it in four-part harmony, and they sang, "Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather, nesting bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given." It's beautiful. Beautiful singing. They looked across this great bonfire through the flames at the people they knew on the other side. Clint and Irene Bunsen were there, and Darlene from the Chatterbox, and Dorothy was there, and little Lutheran kids. Nobody planned it. They just happened. It was beautiful. Irene Lofgren was there, whom people had not seen in a long time. They thought maybe something was wrong, but there she was. Her brother farms a little bit on the west side of town, and he seemed to be there for a moment, and then he disappeared. Mr. Lofgren, people don't exactly know his first name. It's a man of mystery. Lives out there and in his farm. He's got a big orchard out there. It's been an odd summer for gardening. It was an early spring, and then there was an odd freeze that came along and did some damage. Very dry, windy summer. And so the harvest has been kind of early. The apples coming in a month early, some of them, the Macintoshes and the Beacons. And the Honey Crisps. The Honey Crisp is kind of your number one apple in Lake Wobegon. It came along about 20 years ago, and it was developed here in Minnesota, so there's a lot of loyalty to the Honey Crisp. It's beautiful red apple with streaks of pink, and it's sweet and tart at the same time. It's very juicy, and it keeps well. It does not turn brown quickly, so it was very popular, and people raved about it, so much so that Mr. Lofgren, who was kind of a contrarian, like his whole family, Mr. Lofgren, this man who, I mean, if you told him about the law of gravity, he'd try to find exceptions. He set out to develop a different apple in his small orchard out there, and he spent 10 years working on this. Didn't tell anybody about it. He's a very secretive man. 74 years old, kind of bow-legged, not too tall, wears a little snap-brim cap pulled down and dark glasses, usually speaks in a whisper. Hasn't bought new clothing in 47 years. He'll tell you that. He's very proud of that. He goes to estate sales. He wears the pants of dead men, and he believes in that. He doesn't watch television, doesn't listen to the radio, doesn't read the newspaper. He reads Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire and the works of Montaigne and the collected works of Abraham Lincoln and Winston Churchill's History of the English-Speaking Peoples. These books that he bought in one cardboard box for $5 and all the works of Ralph Waldo Emerson, and he reads them over and over and over again. He's developed this apple, which he called the Julia. Nobody knows why. And It's an amazing apple. People have tasted it, and it's sort of like the Honeycrisp. It's sweet and tart, but it has a kind of a tang to it. It's like it's carbonated. And the juice goes down your throat. And it's a sensation that you've never gotten from an apple before. It's a beautiful thing. Few people have tasted it. And the moment you eat one of his Julias, you want another one right away. Well, they're not for sale, you see. He sells firewood, he sells hay, he sells small carved figures. He doesn't sell anything else. He rented out his farmland long ago. But people have craved this apple because after eating one or two of them, you feel giddy. Giddiness, which usually belongs to 14-year-old girls. And you get over it at a certain age. Giddiness is the opposite of moodiness. Giddiness, this excitation, this pleasant anticipation of something wonderful that is about to happen, and your anticipation makes what happens wonderful. Giddiness. People have gone out there to buy firewood. They buy a trunk full of firewood, and they say, well, I understand that you got these wonderful apples. I hear they're wonderful. Well, he says, they are what they are. Huh. Could I buy some? No. I don't take money for my apples. He said, there's too much of that going on. Anyway, I don't care about money. The only reward for a thing well done is to do it, is just to do it. The way to get something done is just to do it. Nothing great in the world happens without enthusiasm. A person only needs so much money. You can only sleep in one bed at a time. No, people say these are hard times, but these are good enough times. They are what you make them. Life is what you make it. In the darkest night, that's when we see the stars. He stands there quoting Emerson to you, and you just have to stand and wait and look him in the eye. And eventually, he might give you a bag of his Julias. Pastor Liz went out there. He called and asked her to come out, and she went out to visit him. She went into his house. She'd never been in it before. He rarely comes to church, just Christmas and Easter. And he told her that he wants her to take care of his funeral if she is in town. Nothing urgent, he said, but I just want to make plans. He wants to have this funeral in the church. He wants his mother's favorite hymn to be sung, Children of the Heavenly Father. And he wants his body to be cremated, and he reached over, and here was a big vase. He said, these are mother's ashes, and he said, I want my ashes to be commingled with hers and spread under the apple trees, and then I want the farm and the house sold, and they can give the money to the high school. I don't care, but I just want that. And I want Emerson to be read at my funeral service. Well, all right. All right, she said. He pressed a button in his living room, and a door opened, a trap door slid open, and she could look down into his cellar. There were lights on down there. She looked down, and a small model train made its way around an oval track. And now she could see on the sides of the cellar two big bins full of apples. The train pulled up to a little drawbridge where two lamps stood, and the drawbridge came down, and an apple rolled down the drawbridge onto the flatbed car of the train, and the train continued on to the other side of the track, where it stopped on the unloader, which turned the flat car over, and the apple rolled down and into a small wooden frame where four prongs came in from the side, motors whirring and turning. Four prongs came in from the side and an arm with a blade, and the apple turned and the peel came off in a long spiral. And then the four prongs cored the apple and quartered it, and a hydraulic lift raised the frame up to the floor, and a pneumatic arm came around with a big sucker on it, and it took hold of the quartered apple, and it swung it over and set it down on a plate, and he handed it to her. She said, "Did you name the apple for your mother?" "No," he said, "her name was not Julia. It was Luann." "Okay. How long did it take you to make this?" "6 years. I worked 6 years to make this contraption. And I'm going to tear it down now. I have no real use for it. I just wanted to make it. And I wanted one person to see it before I did." He gave her a bushel of apples, and she took them home and she put them in the cellar. And those were the apples that she served at the bonfire. She heard people singing, "Children of the Heavenly Father, God he giveth and he taketh, but his children ne'er forsaketh." And she ran downstairs and she got that bushel of beautiful apples and brought them up, and they were passed around, and people ate them and looked at each other, and that's when they sang "Roll Out the Barrel," and they sang "When the Saints Come Marching In," and they sang "Kumbaya" at high speed. It was beautiful. He didn't show up. Mr. Lofgren, 74 years old, 74. She thought of that beautiful contraption that he made for no purpose at all. Just the beauty of it. A work of art. We do not know each other. We are all strangers. Remember that and be kind to each other. That's the news from Lake Wobegon. All the women are strong. All the men are good looking. All the children are above average.